Blog Talk Radio.
Shabbat Shalom, family. We hope that you ate well last night and that you are got some prescribed rest on last night. I praise Yah this morning. I thank Him, for He is truly good and worthy to be praised. We got our brother Isaiah coming this morning with vain and hubris knowledge. I didn't hear this precept the first time, so I'm excited to hear it now. And we want to give thanks to the Most High Elohim. I am going to do our statement of faith, and then I'm going to turn it over to my brother and let him go as the Most High might lead him. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yahshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. I believe that I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Yah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Glory to your name, Father. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you for your wonderful kindness, your tender mercies, Father. We thank you. Hallelujah. There is none like unto you, O Father. There is none like unto you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Glory to your name. Glory to your name, Yah. We praise and worship you this morning. My brother Isaiah, peace and blessings to you, brother. Shabbat shalom.
Hey! Peace and blessings, hey. Bro. Peace and blessings. Happy Sabbath.
Peace and blessings. Happy Sabbath to you, my brother.
Hey, peace and blessings.
I'm turning it over to you and let Yah lead you as he will, brother.
All right. Amen, amen. And testing 1, 2, 3. Can I be heard, Will?
Yeah, he can be heard.
Okay, amen. All praises, all praises. All right, grace and peace, family, grace and peace. Glad to be on this Sabbath. I hope the Most High God of Israel has allowed you to have a great and peaceful Sabbath and the second part of the Sabbath. Grace and peace, family, and thank you for tuning in to the Bible Blog Talk Show, to Yah's Global Kingdom, and definitely dealing with my podcast on the Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible Study Class. Grace and peace, family. My name is Brother Isaiah. I'm a teacher, and I will be my reader today. And the name of the precept is called Vain and Hubris Knowledge. This is a precept and a doctrine that the Most High God has brought to me a couple of years ago that he has constantly kept opened up to me about pride and arrogancy. And, you know, and when the Spirit dwells in you, it can interrupt what God has in store for you to do because you'd be too full of yourself. And if you're too full of yourself, how could the Lord possibly use you as well as he want to use you if you think it's you that's doing it, you think you're better than everybody else, it's either my way or no way. You see, these things cannot enter in into our spirit. It cannot enter into our spirit when dealing with the Most High God. Matter of fact, it shouldn't deal with you at all because we all fall short of glory of God and we all need his grace and mercy. So should nobody be trying to one-up nobody or do no any type of high five. But what we're going to do is that we're going to get into this precept and then get a good understanding on what this word vain and hubris means. It's something a servant of the Most High don't want to have in a system. And sometimes these things might come up, but it's our job to make sure we beat it out of our mind first and to put it at practice 24/7 all the days of your life. So what we're going to do is start out in the Lord's Prayer. And then I'm going to read a Psalms reading from the Bible, and then we're going to get into the precepts. So I'm going to ask all sisters to please cover your head and all brothers to please uncover your head. And if possible, let's face east towards Jerusalem so we can pray in. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now it's time for a Psalms reading, and then we're going to get into the precepts.
Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their depths, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than the heart could wish. They are corrupted and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how oft God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly and prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in incontinency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I shall offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I therein. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awakeneth, so, O Lord, when thou awakenest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved as I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast beholden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw nigh to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Amen. The reading was taking place from the book of Psalms, chapter 73, verses 1 through 28. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Now it is time for us to get into this precept, and it's time for us to get an understanding on what this precept is all about tonight. All right, bro. Okay. So the name of the precept is called Vain and Hubris Knowledge. So what we have to do is understand what these words mean. So the word vain means, in an adjective, it simply means proud, cocky, boastful, arrogant, vain, glorious. And the rest of the definition is having or showing an excessively high opinion of one's appearance, abilities, or worth. Right, so the Lord don't want none of this stuff in us. You know, to be cocky, boastful, arrogant, you know, vain glory, you know, glory in yourself, but vain means it profits you nothing to glorify yourself. So this is one of the biggest issues we have. And when the Lord opens your understanding up, you know, vain and hubris knowledge can easily appear in, because the Bible simply said in the book of Ecclesiastes that the Most High God has made man upright, but men have sought out many inventions. They set out their own instructions. They set out their own understanding, but it's vain. So what we need to understand is that instead of listening to everybody else, we should only understand and take heed to what's written in the pages of the book, and that's the Bible. Don't go left off of your own understanding, because the book of Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 said that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So it's very, very, very important not to go off of your own thoughts, because if you go off your own thoughts,
it is easy for this vain spirit to enter in into your spirit. So now we're going to do, so what we're going to do now is look up the word hubris. Hubris in a noun means excessive pride or self-confidence. The synonyms, it means haughtiness. Haughtiness is the appearance or quality of being arrogantly superior and disdainful. Self-importance. Halter. Halter means haughtiness of manner, disdainful pride. You know, I'm right, you wrong. I get this thing right, I know what I'm talking about, you wrong. No. It's this. Even if you are right, you still should have this spirit, because the Lord said when you're dealing with him, we need the spirit of meekness and fear. So we're very boastful, we're very prideful. These things can enter into us, but we have to make sure that we get rid of it, because in order to please God, we got to humble ourselves, because according to the scriptures, before honor is humility. So before you get your honor, you got to be humble first. So how could God bless you and use you if you fill with vain and hubris knowledge? You fill with pride and arrogancy, self-importance. You can't take the fall. Can't nobody shut up. All we got to do is try to prove on what we know instead of just shutting our mouth. We talk too much. Because if we're constantly talking, we're constantly pointing a finger, we constantly got this spirit on us, how easy do you think it'd be for the devil to mess something up? Didn't Paul write in the book of Romans chapter 7, when I want to do good, evil is present with me? Don't you know the spirit of pride and in hubris knowledge also is there too? Because you might be wanting to do a good deed. You might want to be talking to some brothers. You might want to come together and congregate and do something good for the Most High God. But if your group or your clique or the people you are surrounded don't know how to control their anger, they don't know how to control their pride, they don't know how to control their self-importance, if they're so emotional with all sorts of feelings, then how could you possibly get this thing right? And when you want to do good, evil will be present with you, because somebody won't be able to shut up. Somebody won't know how to be humble. Some people might not want know how to be meek. So this is why this spirit is not a good thing, because it's excessive pride. You know, once the Lord show you something, you just owe 10 all day. I ain't talking about in a good, righteous way. It's like the Lord show you something, but you're using that knowledge that God has given you just to beat other people down. And to use, you know what I'm saying, and to smite your fist and use it in all type of wicked and manner ways. So what we're going to do is go into the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 7. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 7. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And all we want is verse 29. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. How many of us even know that the word inventions also means fairy tale, a story, something made up, something not even true? Because the scripture said, I made you upright, I made you righteous, I showed you the path to righteousness. I gave you my book. She is her. She's always with you. But sometimes we can drop the instructions and start to do things in our own ways. But the scriptures are simply telling us, man, I made y'all look right. I showed you what was right. But on your own will, you sought out your own hubris knowledge, your own vain glory, your own fairy tale, your own inventions. Because you can go through you can start from the book of Genesis all the way to the Old Testament in the book of Malachi. And then you can take your stroll right over there into the New Testament, the book of Matthew, all the way to Revelations. And you will find
temperance, meekness, charity, long-suffering all day long. And definitely in the Old Testament when the Lord was talking about the prophet Job. When you do your own proper research on Job and take your time, through his adversity, he showed us why God called him a perfect and upright man. It's because it was with his meekness, his love, his charity, his temperance, his long-suffering with those that was in need. Because when he was hurt and beat and broke down, he said, Lord, didn't I do this for the people? Didn't I do that for the people? And if I'm lying, Lord, you can chop the whole arm off, even to the bone. But the scriptures is telling us, I made you right. I said, I gave you everything you need. But you guys have left off my instructions and sought out your own inventions, your own fairy tales, your own fanciful stories. And if you're going off your own fairy tales, your own fanciful stories, what you think is knocking at the door? Vain and hubris knowledge, because you left off the instructions of God. So how are you going to stop that spirit from coming into you if you left off his instructions? So let's get another definition of the word. Okay, here we go. I got it. So I gave you one definition of inventions, and it simply do mean fairy tale when you go down into those definitions and you check that stuff out. But then we also have another definition for invention in a noun. And the word invention mean in a noun is conception. The word conception means the forming or devising of a plan or idea. So the Lord says, does this, but we could do does this, but let's go ahead and add our own flavor. The Lord can be like, does that, but we'll check that out later, but we go do it this way. So when we think like that and we behave like that, that means we have sought out our own inventions. And we also have another definition for inventions. It means inspiration. The process of being mentally stimulated to do or feel something, especially to do something creative. So if you're dealing with the instructions of God, there's nothing wrong with it. But the issue come in is when you leave off his instructions and try to do your own thing and make out your own adventures. You know, the Lord said this, that, and the other, but you can be like, no, we ain't doing that. Like, for example, let's just per se fringes, right? We just going to use fringes. Ain't got nothing against nobody who believe it or whatever, what's on your heart, but we just going to use this for this conversation. You know, according to scriptures, the Lord said you can wear them out through all your generations. Inventions come in is when you tell them you don't have to wear them no more. But there's no scriptures to tell you that you cannot wear them no more. And according to scriptures, the Lord said, let every man be persuaded in his own heart. And also understand that every last one of us is going to have to bow the knee. So that's just a little something for right now. Because Lord made man upright, but we have sought out many inventions, and we see that every day. So let's go into the book of Job, chapter 22. I'll give you a second to get there. The book of Job, chapter 22. And what we're going to do is pick it up in verse 2. The book of Job 22. And we're going to read verses 2 through 5. Job 22, verses 2 through 5. And this is where we need to put the respect on the Most High God name. We need to put respect on his name on this one right here. The book of Job 22, verse 2, and we're going to read verses 2 through 5. Verse 2. Can a man be profitable unto God? As he that is wise, many be profitable unto himself. Now remember, we've got to break this thing down. It said, can a man be profitable unto God? And the word profitable means successful. So can a man be successful unto God? As he that is as wise may be successful unto himself. Right? So whatever righteousness you think you're doing, or you're doing it for yourself. You're not really. He don't need our help. You think the Lord said? You think the Lord's in the third heaven saying, "Oh man, I needed you to do that. Oh, what a good thing you did that." No, maybe you don't do it. You just find another, and then the glory go back to the Father anyway. So by reading this first passage in verse 2, this is showing us humility, humbling ourselves in the eyesight of the Most High God. Verse 3, is it any pleasure to the Almighty that thou art righteous, or is it gain to him that thou makest thy ways perfect? Same thing. You think the Lord going to be like, "Oh, wait, I'm glad you did that. Now, okay, now I can do this to do that." No, that's foolishness. Perfect, and he's going to live forever, and he's going to be righteous, and everything he establishes is going to be at his perfect will. So when we're reading these passages, brothers and sisters, what we need to understand is that God don't need none of us. He can just kill us and raise up 10, 20 times better than every last one of us, of a snap of a finger. So when we're reading these scriptures, it's not to beat us down, but it's to humble ourselves. And whatever God has given us, be thankful that he showed it to us and deal with it in the spirit of meekness and charity. Love, fear, knowing that you don't know it all, but you're able to humble yourself to your brothers and sisters and to be a living example for the Most High God. And remember, after you do your job, then just go on about your business and don't be boasting yourself up thinking you did some miraculously thing. But simply just humbling yourself. And this is why we're reading these scriptures right now. It's just to humble ourselves. Verse 4. Will he reprove thee for fear of thee? Will he enter with thee into judgment? Is not thy wickedness great and thy iniquities infinite? How many sins and shortcomings do you think we have to even have the gall or audacity to lift ourselves up with vain and hubris knowledge, to smite the fist, to think we're so righteous and pious and holy, always looking at everybody else's shortcomings, but not even looking at ourselves. The second we find out something, we quick to throw them scriptures on the lake of fire and call them foolish and stupid and dumb and all this other kind of stuff. And even though after the Bible has even told us, will we speak wickedly for God? Do God need our help to speak wicked for him? We've seen it happen to Moses. What happened to Moses? Oh, man, we don't come close to. So even at the age of 124 years old, Moses still had to watch his back. So what that's telling us, no matter how much righteousness we think we are doing, no matter how much we think we know, we still have to humble ourselves and give the Most High God all his glory. Because Moses lived 124 years, and he dropped the ball at 124 years old. So that means he still had to watch himself. So don't you think we need to watch ourselves no matter how much we think we know, how much it doesn't matter? We still have to humble ourselves. And after all the wickedness and downfalls we had, we should be quick to forgive other people of their shortcomings. Now let us go into the book of Proverbs chapter 15. The book of Proverbs chapter 15. And what we're going to do is pick it up at verse 32.
Proverbs 15, verse 32. And we're going to read 32 and 33. Proverbs 15, verse 32 and 33. Verse 32. He that refuseth instruction despises his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. So how do you think you get understanding? By shutting up and stop thinking that people are always trying to attack you. Because if you think that people are always trying to attack you and you always trying to, like, for example, you see me doing wrong. But I remember you did wrong, so I'm bringing yours up. Why can't you just take the instructions? Because the Bible said correct the wise man, he'll love you. But if you correct a fool, he'll hate you. So when somebody's trying to correct you and you can't take the correction, and you always throwing out what they done wrong, then the actions of that person is very foolish. Not saying that the person is being a hypocrite, but sometimes a person can just be coming to you in the spirit of meekness and fear and might want to help out. There's nothing wrong with that. Now let us go to the book of Proverbs chapter 18. The book of Proverbs chapter 18. Oh, no, 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 no. We didn't read verse 33 yet. Verse 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. So before you get your honor, before you get your blessing, before anything you get from the Most High God, before your honor, you got to be humble. And even after you get your honor, you be humble. And after you get whatever the Lord gave you, whatever blessing He gave you, whatever instruction He gave you for righteousness, still be humble. Whatever blessing God has given you, be humble. Whatever path He took in your way and you see it's going very well, be humble. And even when things ain't even looking bad, and when things ain't looking too good, when things seem like they all up on you, be humble. And to be thankful that the Most High God has corrected you, instead of you living a nice long life and then end up with destruction. Like that psalm reading we read earlier today in the book of Psalms chapter 73. When they're talking about the why the wicked is so prosperous. They live a long life. They always in good shape. So whatever come your way, be humble. Whether it's good, bad, instructions, whatever it is, humble yourself. But right now we're talking about honor. And for the old heads and the people who's trying to serve God, before you get your honor, you got to remember humility and not to entertain this vain and hubris knowledge and being all proud and cocky and boastful and arrogant and all your vain glory. Let's get away from that stuff. And definitely haughtiness, which is the appearance or quality of being arrogantly superior or disdainful. Okay? Now let us go into the book of Proverbs 26. The book of Proverbs 26. The book of Proverbs 26, and what we're going to do is pick this up at verse 12, and all we want is verse 12. Seest thou the man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him.
And what is conceit? The word conceit means vainglory. And if you remember the definitions we looked at, vainglory is also in, well, I don't even have to say that because it's vainglory. So never mind. The word conceit means vainglory. So let's read this again with that definition. Seest thou the man wise in his own vainglory? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Let's be mindful of that. So let us go into the book of Galatians chapter 6. The book of Galatians chapter 6. The book of Galatians chapter 6. And what we're going to do is pick it up at verse 3. The book of Galatians 6 and 3. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So let's read that again. For if a man think himself to be something, but we got to remember, he is nothing. He deceiveth himself. So whatever God give you, when it comes to wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, or instructions of doing something good for the work in the vineyard, remember, you're nothing. And humble ourselves. So when the Lord do bless you with the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, you will be in good favors with the Most High God because you're not going to boast yourself in any type of way. But if we're not checking ourselves, if we can't receive instructions, and vain and hubris knowledge come out of our system, then it's very foolish. And there's only a time appointed before the Lord pull our sheets over our heads. So let's remember that. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Now let's go to the book of Proverbs chapter 27. The book of Proverbs 27. The book of Proverbs 27. And what we're going to do, brothers and sisters, is read verses 1 through 2. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. So don't be like, well, I can't wait for this. Man, when this happens, such and such, you don't even know if that's going to even happen, for one. And for two, you're not even in control of your own heartbeat. You're not in control of the grays that grow on your hair, or you're not even in control when they grow. So why boast ourselves on matters that are out of our hands? Verse 2, let another man praise thee and not thy own mouth, a stranger and not thy own lips. So instead of us boasting and bragging on what we think we know or the things that we have done or the work in the vineyard, we should not boast at all on any of them things. Or, you know, supporting the poor and helping those that's in need and turn around and you post all your pictures on Facebook or make a video on the great work you're doing. You don't need to be doing that because you have received your reward. So we shouldn't be acting in this manner. After the Lord has allowed us to take care of his business, leave it alone. No need to be talking about what you have done. As long as the Father knows what you've done, that's the only thing that should matter. And when people see your works, let them praise your works. And after they praise your works, give it back to the Father because that's who we came from anyway. And be humble and keep it moving. And let's go to the book of Isaiah chapter 58. The book of Isaiah chapter 58. The book of Isaiah chapter 58. The book of Isaiah, chapter 58, and all we want is verse 4. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high, So, why do people use strife and debate? They use strife and debate so their voice can be heard on high. No, I'm right. You wrong. Let's go here. Let's go down. Let's do this. No, you don't know what you're talking about. Can you read? Do you know what you're doing? No, that's stupid. That's dumb. You don't know what you're talking about. All that is strife and debate. But it's not for edifying to help the people. It's for your voice to be heard on high. And if you want your voice heard on high, and you're doing this in strife and debate, that means that you have allowed vain and hubris knowledge to enter into your system because you cannot humble yourself. You can't take a foot back. You can't just be quiet. You can't just humble yourself. You just got to keep going on and on and on and on like a broken record. These things are not ought to be. And this is another form of vain and hubris knowledge. Let's move along. Let's go into the book of Job, chapter 11. The book of Job, chapter 11. The book of Job, chapter 11. And what we're going to do, brothers and sisters, is pick this up at verse 4. And we're going to read verses 4 through 12. The book of Job 11, verses 4 through 12. Verse 4. For thou hast said, my doctrine is pure, and I am clean in thine eyes. Behold, that God will speak and open his lips against thee, and that he will show thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thy iniquity deserveth. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty into perfection? It is as high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell, what canst thou know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth, and broader than the sea. If he cut off and shut up, but gather together, then who can hinder him? For he knoweth vain men, he seeth wickedness also. Will he not then consider it? That is a mouthful said. So what we should not be saying is that our doctrine is pure and we clean in God's eyes. To be honest, if you say your doctrine is pure, are saying you're clean in God's eyes because you're not leaving room for growth. You're not leaving room for more understanding. You're not giving room for more wisdom. You're not giving room for God to bless you with more if you automatically think that your doctrine is pure. Because if you think your doctrine is pure, that means you think you're clean in God's eyes. The Bible said our righteousness is nothing but 50 rags in his eyesight. The heck is we doing talking about we're pure and clean in God's eyes? The things we teach is upright and that's what's going on. As the Bible is constantly keep telling us we don't know to have. Because in verse 6 it said, and that he will show thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thy iniquity deserveth. So now when checking out verse 6, when we're looking at verse 6, it said that they are double to that which is. So when the Lord show you the secrets of wisdom, it's really double the knowledge that you think you understand. The Lord might show you something, but the mystery of that goes far and broader outside our understanding. We might have to be in a spirit form to understand the whole thing in full plain eyesight. But whatever God has shown us, it's only a portion. Whatever God has shown us is actually double to what I've shown you. But I only give you a little bit. You know, you do a little more searching on it, I give you a little bit more. Oh, you still doing searching on it? Yeah, I give you a little tad bit right here.
Oh, you're still checking that out, huh? Let me give you a little bit more of it. That's how God works with us. He's not going to be like, oh, you get this? Let me just give you the... He's not like, oh, you trying to figure this out? I'm going to give you the whole thing. No, God ain't like that. He just give you little by little, little by little, little by little. Because when you get little by little, you keep studying. He keep giving you little by little. When you're studying, you're not in everybody else's business. When you get little by little, you're too focused on yourself and how to please God instead of being focused on what other people are doing in their life. You'd be too busy trying to get yourself together and get the wisdom, knowledge, understanding that God has given you. But in order for him to give you this little by little, we got to learn how to mind our business and get this vain and huge knowledge out of our heart and focus on what God wants us to do, and then we put that in practice 24/7 when we're out here in the world. That's what it's all about. But let's read 7. Canst thou by searching find out God? Can thou find out the Almighty into perfection? It is as high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell. What canst thou know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. If he cut off and shut up or gather together, then who can hinder him? But the issue is in verse 11. The red flag is in verse 11. And this is the red flag. For he knoweth vain men. He seeth wickedness also. Will he not then consider it? So a person that think he figured out God, a person that think that his doctrine is pure, he clean in God's eyes, a person that don't understand that whatever God has shown you is actually double, a person that don't understand these things, and a person that is filled with stupidity on thinking his knowledge is, his teaching is pure, and he think he clean in God's eyes, it all goes back to verse 11. And it says, for he knoweth vain men. This is all this is talking about. A person that think they know it all, a person that think that they can't be told nothing, a person that is filled with all type of vain and hubris knowledge. This is the issue. So God don't call us vain men. Now let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. And we're going to read verses 8 through 12, 8 through 12. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 12. And let's look at it another form in the New Testament. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Why, brothers and sisters? Why is prophecies? Why tongues, why knowledge shall vanish away? Verse 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. We only dealing with half of the story, brothers and sisters. We have enough for salvation. The Lord give us a little toys to play with for mysteries. But we only know half of the story, brothers and sisters. So this is why, if it's prophecies or tongues or knowledge, it's going to vanish away. Because we only know part, and we prophesize in part. And we're going to be prophesizing in part until the Most High God come down here on this earth and set this thing up straight. Then that which is in part shall be done away with. But right now, we're only dealing with half. So if we're dealing with half, why allow vain and hubris knowledge to enter in and you think you're somebody special or smart? The key to this conversation, brothers and sisters, is humility. humble ourselves in the eyesight of God, and whatever he has shown you, be thankful he has given it to you, and don't boast yourself up on that understanding. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. So now this is telling us something. You know, it's telling us first thing first is to put away childish things. When I was a child, I understood as a child. Eventually, a child has to grow up, put away childish things, grow up and be a man or a woman, and stop being so temper tantrum when it comes to the word or vain and hubris knowledge. Because the rest said, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, the interesting thing that we're going to look at is verse 12. And it says, for now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. So now this is metaphorically speaking. You know, so it's like our understanding is in the dark, and it's like a glass. You know, if you got like a glass cracked or shattered or whatever, you put it to your eye, you know, it's kind of hard to determine whether you're looking at a refrigerator or a garbage can or things on the floor, because you can't really see through that glass. That's a metaphor that Paul is talking about. But at that appointed time when Christ comes, the Lord is going to take that glass away from our eyes. And then we'll be able to see the refrigerator. We'll be able to see the clothes on the floor. We'll be able to see the garbage can. We'll be able to see the dishes and stuff like that. Because then we'll be able to see the whole wisdom, knowledge, and understanding plainly. But right now, we all have a shattered glass on our eye. We can only just see a little bit of it. And it's dark, too. So you go stumble and walk around because you're not going to be able to find out too many things. You might be able to find a couch to sit down on, but where's the table? And everything I am saying is a metaphor. And it's just simply showing and teaching us how to walk this life, how to walk this walk. Because we only know half until the Lord come back. So there's no need for vain and hubris knowledge to enter in into our system. So now let us go into the book of Romans chapter 11. The book of Romans chapter 11. And what we're going to do is pick it up at verse 33. The book of Romans chapter 11. And what we're going to do is 33 through 36. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom of and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his ways. Excuse me, let me read that again. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So this is telling us. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom of knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. So what is this showing us more now, brothers and sisters? Humility, humbling yourself. Thank God that whatever he has shown you, he showed you. And don't boast yourself up on what God has given you, but rather humble yourself and just thank God and hope that he can just show you a little bit more next time. And when people see your wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, claim it in front of you, give it to the Father, humble yourself, and keep it moving. Now let's go into the book of Proverbs, chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. And all we want is verse 23, 29 and 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. A man's pride shall bring him low. Right? It's going to shame him. It's going to embarrass him. Why? Let's find out why. Let's go back into the book of Job, chapter 11. The book of Job, chapter 11. Because it said a man's pride shall bring him low. Now, the book of Job, chapter 11, is going to give us a better 3D sight on that conversation we just read. So it said a man's pride shall bring him low. And now we're in the book of Job, chapter 11. But this time, we're going to read verses 2 and verse 3. Should not the multitude of words be answered? Because, remember, if you're always talking, you can't shut up, and you always going off with debate and stuff like that, it's obvious pride is in the way, and vain and hubris knowledge. So let's read that again. Should not the multitude of words be answered, and should a man full of talk be justified? Should thy lies make men hold their peace? And when thou mockest, shall no man make thee ashamed? So now you boasting and bragging on what you know, with your vain and hubris knowledge, or whatever understanding you have. And the Lord bring a group of people around that know way more than you, and they shut you down in the spirit of meekness and charity with the scriptures, and everybody looking at you. Because now you going through scriptures back and forth because your understanding isn't where you thought it was at. You on a level 5, but the Lord brought somebody at a level 10. With the spirit of meekness and charity. And they throwing a book all in your face. And you know, not in no mean or bashful way, but just trying to chop it up. And going to figure out, you find out that you don't know as much as you thought you knew. Won't that bring you low? Won't that make you ashamed? And the Lord will do this to us if we do not control this vain and hubris knowledge, this pride and arrogancy. Because somebody's going to come through and throw your sheet off your head and find out, and the people will find out you really don't know what you're talking about. Or you can't control yourself. Or you feel with anger and frustration and bitterness. It all show. So let's control that spirit. Now I'm going to pull a scripture out in the book of Ecclesiasticus. The book of Ecclesiasticus. And what I'm going to do is pick this up at verse 19. And all we want is verse 24, the book of Ecclesiasticus, chapter 19 and 24, is because we're so built on all this wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. It's nothing wrong with it, you know, if you use it in the righteous manner. It's nothing wrong with that. But I'm talking about the people who just think that they all that in a bag of chips because of what they think they know. And, you know, and they fill with vain and hubris knowledge. Let's look at what the book of Ecclesiasticus, chapter 19 and 24, got to say about that. He that hath small understanding and fear of God is better than one that hath much wisdom and transgresseth the law of the Most High. So a person might not even know half of what you are. With all that wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, you know, and they ain't taking no pride or arrogance in, they're very boastful and stuff. And a person that don't even know half of what you have, but just know just a little bit, The Lord is showing us that that person is far better than the person that got all that wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. He's showing that way more wisdom, knowledge, and understanding it ain't gonna profit you nothing if you got all that pride and arrogance in your heart and all that vain and hubris knowledge. And there might be somebody that might just know a couple of scriptures and doing the best they can with the little bit that God has given them. can be far greater than a person with all that wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. It's a true story. I'll tell you why it's a true story. Let's go in the book of Matthew chapter 25. Let's find out why it's a true story. The book of Matthew chapter 25. And we're going to read verses 31 through 40. And I have one more after this. The book of Matthew 25, verses 31 through 40. Verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from the other, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was in hunger, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in, naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came in unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in hunger, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of those, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Amen. So now this is just showing us what we just read in the book of Ecclesiasticus, when it said that a person with little understanding and keep the word of God is far greater than the person with great wisdom, not just understanding, and transgress of the law. And we use that transgression of the law is with that vain and hubris knowledge just for the precept's sake. To turn around, we're doing all of this jaw-jacking, bumping our gums with all this knowledge and stuff, and the Bible just simply showed us people who's going to get the kingdom. Now remember, these people that the Lord separated for the right side that he considered righteous and sheep, have we ever sat down and just thought about it? If they were serving God and they did know the Bible, then they would have automatically knew that this is why they was getting the kingdom. But when they were talking to God, they said, when we saw you like this. So what is it telling us? It's obviously they were serving God, not even knowing they were serving God. So it's obvious that they didn't even know half of the stuff that we know. But for the fact that they did charity, and charity is so powerful for the kingdom, the Lord allowed them to get the kingdom. So much for all this vain and hubris knowledge, and so much for all this excessive pride and pointing a finger at other people's shortcomings, the Lord has simply showed us people that even know that they were serving God enter into the kingdom. Because they said, when we saw you like this, if they were serving God, then they would automatically knew that was why they was getting the kingdom. But they didn't have a clue why they got the kingdom. And God told them why they got the kingdom. So much for all this excessive pride and knowledge that the Lord is showing us, people who just understood a little milk was certified for the kingdom. Now let's go into the last spot. Let's go into the book of Matthew chapter 7. Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 7. Matter of fact, we have one more after this one. We have one more after this one because we got to read this one. Matthew 7. And what we're going to do is pick this up in verse 21. And we're going to read verses 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work of iniquity. Right? So the Lord never said these people were lying. The Lord knew they'd done these works. They know they cast out devils. The Lord know that they did wonderful works. The righteous fruit tree. The fruits of the Spirit. Meekness, temperance, long-suffering, gentleness, patience. Long-suffering. Patience with others. Long-suffering with others. We did all the other right. We did all the other stuff, but forgot about the main thing. And we got to understand that this is probably one of the reasons why the Lord said the righteous are scarce to be saved, is because we don't have no understanding of the fruits of the Spirit. So if any of us have issues with pride, arrogancy, being cocky, boastful, arrogant, or if we have an issue with being vainglorious, or if we are hubris with excessive pride or self-confidence, or if we have an issue with naughtiness, which is the appearance or quality of being arrogantly superior and disdainful, or self-importance, or a halter, which means haltiness of manner, disdainful pride. So if we have an issue with this, if we have any issues with vain and hubris knowledge or pride, we don't know how to stop talking, we don't know how to just be chill, if we have any of these issues, let us understand that we have that issue first, and then we have to do something for the last scripture so the Lord can hear us on this, in this prayer. Let's go into the book of Psalms, chapter 51. The book of Psalms 51, and we're going to read verses 1 through 12, and this will be last. Psalms 51 and 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, the only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. So if any of us have an issue with vain and hubris knowledge, if any of us have an issue with vain glory, if any of us have an issue with just not knowing how to control ourselves, you go into the private room in your closet and you ask God to help you and believe he can help you, and it shall be delivered to you. So through the grace of God, I hope you got some understanding in this. And the name of the precept is called Vain and Hubris Knowledge. And I thank you for your time, and I turn it back over to Brother Miles. I thank you for your time.
All right. Amen. 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 Great job, my brother. Great job. Vain and hubris knowledge.
Amen.
Being overly
Amen.
Prideful, suffering from vanity.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you are holy or think you're holy, let me change that. Think that you're holy.
Mm-hmm.
That is not a good thing, and you may not make it in, as my brother pointed out. Because you never did the first thing. Amen. So I want to say great lesson. I do have one question for you after everybody makes their remarks, whoever wants to.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. 763-438. You're live.
Shalom, brother. Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
Yes, Sister Mary.
Hey, Brother Isaiah. We missed you.
Hey.
Thank you for coming back. Thank you for coming back.
Amen.
Awesome lesson. This is my second time hearing it, and I appreciate it again. Thank you, brother. Love you, brother.
Amen. All praises.
Amen.
Love you too, sister.
You too, brother Miles. Love you too.
Love you too, my sister. 320.
That's all I have to say.
All right, amen. 320-298. You're live.
Shabbat shalom, family. Can you hear me?
Shabbat shalom.
Hey, Sister Rhea.
Shalom, family. Grace and peace. Happy Sabbath. It is a beautiful, beautiful Sabbath. Thank you, Heavenly Father. All praises to the Most High, Yah. Hey, Sister Mary, I love you. I just want to tell her that aside. Little note. I love her so much, my sister in Christ. I've been so busy working. Please forgive me for not calling you and contacting you, but know that I love you. I pray for you every day, each and every one of you. God is good. He's good. I just wanted to say shalom, Brother Miles. Shalom, Brother Isaiah. Great, great precept. Thank you for reminding me to stay humble. And that's what I've been doing, doing my best, trying to stay humble. No, staying humble. I have been. No, I'm going to say trying because I don't know. Maybe some days I think I am and I'm still not. So I'm giving my first and my best in that area in Jesus' name with the fruits of the Spirit. So thank you for that remembrance, giving us that reminder to do those things. It doesn't matter how much we know. It's about those fruits. Really, it is. So I'm just going to keep it short and simple because the Lord is teaching me to speak less and do more. So with that being said, I just wanted to tell you thank you for the reminder. I love you all in Jesus' mighty name. I really do. And everybody have a blessed, blessed Sabbath. Amen.
Amen. All right. We love you too, my sister. All right. Brother Isaiah, I did have a question for you, brother. You quoted the age of Moses died as 124 years old. What is your source for that?
I did say 124, didn't I? Or was it 100?
Yeah, you did. Three or four times. I was like, wait a minute.
Did I hear
your brother say that? Three or four times?
I probably got called in the sauce. You could have texted me, Brother Miles. I would have fixed it in the preacher. Let me see. Let me go back. One second. I'm sorry, brothers and sisters. It was 120 years old.
Amen. All right.
I got to. I'm sorry. 120 years old. Testing y'all.
Amen.
Miles, you passed the flying colors. No, I'm just playing.
Amen. All right. Catch,
bro. Thank you. I'm sorry, brothers and sisters. 120 years.
Amen. To Yah be the glory. Is what you know. We got to keep each other straight.
Amen. Amen. Love you, bro. Thank you.
You're welcome. 612-384. You're live.
Grace and peace, Brother Isaiah, Brother Miles, Brother Keith. How's everybody doing on this blessed day?
Blessed, Brother Keith.
Humble. Humble.
Amen. 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 Yeah, I seen that though. He was waiting for you to say 120. I was sitting here for a while. I was like, cause it's okay. You know, I mean, if we fall, the Lord, he'll pick us back up. You know what I'm saying? you know, just the main thing is just to stay on the straight and narrow in this word, you know. I mean, it's a powerful word. I mean, it took Moses 40 years to learn the word. He was 80 years old, so that just goes to show that we don't even know the whole thing. Like he said, half and half and part, you know what I'm saying? You know, and we think we know everything and stuff, but the Lord says, like, the deceived and the deceiver are mine. So that means everything that the Lord created, don't think we know about it. Only he knows about it. So I want to say that I do humble myself. I've been learning. It still takes time. You know, only the Lord knows our heart. We don't even know ourselves. It's taking this long time for me to realize that. So I do humble myself, and everything that the Lord blesses me with, I'm very content. I'm content with y'all being my family. So, excellent lesson, Brother Isaiah. Much love to the family. And with that, I close.
All right, amen. Brother Isaiah, you have any last closing words for us?
No, I'm okay. You know, just, recheck the lesson if possible and just understand the that spirit of vain and hubris knowledge. And I close.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Let's give this brother in the Most High hand clap of praise. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Glory to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We always want to thank the Most High for his word, for his servants, for those that he puts on their heart to pursue this and to put in the time to show themselves studied and approved by the Most High. And we always want to maintain our humbleness even within all things, actually. So I thank him even now for that word and for his servants. On this evening, we will be continuing in church discipline. We've been looking at the messianic life, and we started on church discipline last night, and we're going to pick that up on this evening. Looking at what the scriptures say, how we as Christians, as messianic believers, are supposed to walk, and when we find corruption among ourselves, really what we're supposed to do. And we're going to look at what the Word says, not what Brother Miles says, but what the Word says concerning this thing. So join us this evening, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, as we continue this walk in the Messianic life. On Thursday coming up this week, we're going to have Brother Keith coming with a precept on Thanksgiving. And well, we just want to encourage the brother to come as Yah puts it on his heart to come, and that he gives himself wholly to it. We want to say we love you all. No matter what we're going through, we pray for you always, that the Most High sees you through whatever it is that you're going through. So stay encouraged, my brothers and my sisters. Times are about to get harder in this world, and we need to draw closer to the Most High Elohim. We need to be under his skirts, under his protection. People are, you can see it out there, people are losing hope. And they are struggling. And so we have the one and only true source of hope in this world, and that is the Most High Elohim. So I want to encourage you all in this word, amongst our family here, pray for one another. Lift up the Most High Elohim. Give him his props, his dues. Thank him daily for everything that he does for you. Pray that he keeps his angels encamped around each and every one of us and keeps us all safe in these times of trouble, especially when, you know, if you're having to go out and go to work amongst people and this COVID, it is, you know, it's not getting any better. And so we pray that the Most High keep us all safe from this and any other pestilence that he sees fit to send. But watch out for people, because you never know who's going through what, and you may run into somebody that feels like they have no hope. And when you get into that position, there's no telling what you will do. And I see this more and more every day. So stay encouraged. You are serving the one and only true and living Elohim. He is in charge of everything, and he will dispatch his angels to keep us safe from all hurt and harm. All right, until this afternoon or this evening, may the Most High keep you. May he bless you. May he encamp his angels around you, keep you safe from all hurt and harm. Until the appointed time, my brothers and sisters, peace and blessings. Shalom.
Just a man, you always